Good morning, saints. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see smiling faces, praising God in the heavenly places. We normally sing it says we're together again. Just praising the Lord. This morning, I'd just like to expound a little bit on some of the verses that we have read this morning. It was taken from John chapter 6. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 6. But while we're contemplating the verses, I'd just like to ask a question. What are we doing here? You know, we're here together. We said we're here together this morning in a meeting, in a room. What are we doing here? How did we come to this point where we are here? If you notice, we come from different places. Some an hour plus, some a few minutes, and some longer, maybe. But yet we're here. One purpose, right? How did that happen? How, as we've read earlier in verse 40, verse 40 of John chapter 6. I'm not going to go over all the passage. Just a few, highlight a few things. I reach for verse 39 first. It says, "And this is the Father's will which had sent me, that all which he had given me, I should lose nothing." I would say lose none of them. Not just nothing. But should raise it up and raise them up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And verse 44 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." If you notice, we see that phrase a lot in the passage that we read. I will raise him up at the last day. But we'll get to that in a minute. What was the attraction for each and every one of us? It's a personal question. We have to answer it individually. I can answer it for Lorna. Lorna can't answer for me. Vice versa. Right around. So what drew you this morning to be here? In his presence, to worship, to be obedient and worship, take part of the emblems, or just be in his presence. How did that happen? You know, we can't not read John 3:16 here. This is one of the main reasons that these things happened. I'm just answering a question. And I said the individual answers might be different. I miss the brethren. I miss the presence of the Lord. I miss the fellowship. Those are some of the answers we might be getting this morning, individually. But we see how it all happened here in John 3:16. This is the first verse I've ever learned. I'm sure a lot of us might say the same thing. This is the first verse that I actually memorized when I was little, even before I knew what it meant. Before I knew the Lord, I knew that verse. But it never came to light until later on. Many can attest to that. It says, "For God so loved the world." The world. Is it everybody? Can you escape? Are you in the world? Everybody's in the world. His love extends to you this morning. "That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." At the end, you see, it says everlasting life. And then we have read a few times, the last day. All right, so we get back to that again. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world," even though that's what we deserved, condemnation, "but that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Back to our passage, John 6. All right, so we see this love of God which constrains us this morning, each and every one of us. That love of God has taken a grip on us. And that is what has drawn us together this morning. I hope and trust everybody believe that. Do we all agree? That's right. The love of Christ, the love of God, the love of God which caused him to give his only son, the only begotten of the Father, came up, came down. And so in our passage in Ephesians, in our Bible study, we have just gone through, he that descend was the one who already, the one who ascend is the same that descended. All right, so that means he was there in the heavens before, in the beginning. Then he came down and did a work. When the work was finished, he ascended back to the Father. So he came down. The Father gave him up, his only son, sent him here in this scene to do a work to redeem us. Whosoever believe in him should not perish. Everyone who believes this has a chance. You do not believe it, you don't have a chance. There's no in between. There's in or out. And not my words. If it was up to me, I would say, okay, I'll give you a blight. You know how we like to negotiate, especially Jamaicans, Caribbeans. We negotiate. Nothing is ever what it says. If you go to the market and you see a thing for $1, you can get it for 99 cents. If you talk. So, but not so with the things of God. God said it, and it is. So, I cannot change that. If you're going to believe that it's different, it's on you. But it is a fact. It's either you believe on him or you don't. You believe, you're saved. You don't, you're condemned. That's the rule. So anyway, but God is in verse 17 of John 3. We read that says that, well, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. That's not his plan. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell, as it were. Because that's where you're going to go if you don't have Christ. No way around that either. He says, if you believe on him, you're saved. But God's plan is for all men to come to the knowledge of Christ. And I hope and trust everyone in here tonight, this evening. Yeah, it's night somewhere. But, you know, here it's today, all right? So anyone who believe that they are not in the good of this, this is a very good opportunity, a very good time for you to bow down to him and ask the Lord in your heart right now. Do it privately. The Lord will hear you. Tell somebody about it so we can rejoice with you if you have not. You know, there are so much times we come together and we assume that everybody is okay. It's easy to do that, right? I said, okay, we don't know who is. Because, as I said, man look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. God knows what's going on in your life, even if you don't tell nobody. God knows. So you have, it's a personal thing with you and God. You have to make it right with him. Tell us so we can rejoice, yes, but we can't do it for you. So now, we've seen that there is a way and there is a reason. Now, how long does this security last? Because you're offering security, because everybody likes security. You notice all those politicians, those business people, even though they have a lot of sway in things, you never see them walk out there by themselves. Some have bodyguards surrounding them because, you know, they need to feel safe wherever they go. But now in Christ, do we have that kind of security? I'm not rich. I don't have enough to afford a private security. maybe if I offer him what I have, he'd probably just move on to the next guy. And I'd be left alone, right? But every believer in Christ, we have so much security that even though security that they have could not break through to get us. No matter what, our security is in Christ and in God. And these are the forces that controls everything around us. No matter what, you don't have to get up and say you're a bad man. I can take this crowd on. I could take that crowd on. But you just be humble in Christ, and the Lord does take care of his own. We have so much security, it's not funny. It's not, you don't even have to see it. You don't see it, you just walk and you know it's there. It's that assurance you have when you come to Christ, giving him your whole life. And, you know, and how long does it last for? You know, some of these politicians, when they get out of office, their details are gone. They are on their own. I just heard a couple of times that they're taking away details from certain people. And then one would ask, are you worried that something might happen? Would you feel bad? It's on him. He has money. He can afford his own security. Does God do that to us? No, he don't. You're his. And it says until the last day. Let's get to that now. It says until the last day. When is the last day? Do you know when is the last day? You know, back when we were in school and we were just like wishing and hoping for that last day when we get a break for the holiday. Summer holiday was the longest one. So that's one we looked forward to. And we could have a lot of fun for the whole, how much of a month. But at least we know this day is going to be the last day of school and you'll just keep, you know, looking forward to that. But now, which last day are we talking about here? Is it just the last day of your life? Not necessarily. Because when your life here is ended, a new life began with Christ. And it continued. And we sometimes read about that resurrection day, right? You know, there's a song that they normally sing at every Jamaican funeral from the Grace Thrillers. It says, oh, what a sunrise it's going to be. Death shall lose its sting and grave its victory. The silence will be broken and the storm clouds roll away. I hear the singing of. Come on, Jamaican, sing it.
I hear the singing on that
glorious day. That's right, that glorious day. It's a day. And it doesn't talk about no night, it's just one day. Our calendar will be tossed. There won't be 30-day months or 31-day and 28 and 29. And February is a confusing month too. You know, you don't even know if it's going to be 28 or it's going to be 29. But with God, everything's sure. That day is going to be one day, one eternal day. There's another song that talks about an eternal day. Yeah, just a day. Who likes the day better than the night? Not because you like to sleep, you're going to say you like the night, right? Because some people love to sleep, and they love it when night comes, they can go to sleep. But I like the daytime, because the daytime, there are activities. There are a lot of joyous things you can do in the daytime. So we'll be together with Christ. That last day, I'm assuming that day is with Christ. That's the last day we're going to count. There won't be no counting after that. As I said, the calendar won't be there. So we see that this is not just over the time that we see. God has us in his control, in his care throughout eternity. Once you come to him, you're safe. There's just another one that's, there's so many songs. Safe am I, safe am I. In the hollow of his hand. And then the verse that says, he got you in his hand, and then the Father has the Son's hand in his hand. Can you imagine a hand and then a hand between a hand? Can we escape that? That is double security. That's what the believer has. And that is what drew us this morning, I'm assuming, for me, it is what drew me to come here this morning to give worship, to give praise, to give honor and glory to the Lord, the one who sought and found me, the one who saved me, the one who tells me, I went to the cross for you. And if we all believe that individually, we are secure in him. And this is the security that God allows us to have in him. It doesn't matter what goes on around us. Everybody goes through things, and you're going to go through some more. After this one is over, another one is coming. But in God, we know exactly what we have. So I just trust that we today, each and every one, would just reflect on him. What he has done for us, where he has placed us, and what he has promised us in the future. Life is uncertain. We don't know how we are going to end up tomorrow, nor the next day if it lasts. But we know what Christ has for us. And this is enough to keep us going through the day. I trust your hearts might be encouraged and blessed. And we continue to look to him, our source of all blessings, for his name's sake. Amen.